You love baptizing us in your Spirit. You love baptizing us in your fire. You love when we are invited into your presence by you. You love that. That gives you such joy. That pleases you, Lord God. For you find good pleasure in your creation. You find good pleasure in those that you have made in your image. And Father, we thank you that we are a delight to you. And we thank you that you delight our hearts and that this is a love and a romance and a season, Father, where we're increasing in every place in your heart. Thank you, Lord, that you're increasing us on every front. Thank you, Lord, that you draw us into those deep places right now. Thank you, Lord, that we have communion with you, that we encounter your presence, Lord. For there's nothing greater than your presence. No agenda, no schedule, nothing, Lord God. Your presence, in your presence is fullness of joy and fullness of peace. I thank you, Lord. Thank you and praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And bless your name. We bless your name. Thank you, Lord. Suffer not the little children to come unto me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Father, we enter into your kingdom realm as little children right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that our hearts are postured before you. Not what we think, not what we feel, but what you say. For you are our God. You are our God, and we love you. And we joy in loving you. And we thank you that your joy pours over us. Just pours over us. You saturate us with your peace and joy. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we bless your name. Bless you, Lord. What a privilege and honor, Lord. This morning, as we lift up and dedicate three little lives in this body to your service, to your love, to your heart, oh God, Father, we thank you that your eyes are shining down right now. You're shining on these little lives and their families, and you're shining, Lord God. The brilliance of your majesty is coming down in a full wave. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The parents and the children are just going to come up front, and we just believe it's appropriate, not as a religious act, but as a dedicative act of joy and love. Not something we have to do, but something we delight in doing, to be able to lift up these children and lift up their families and say, we love you and we stand with you. And the goodness of God is upon you and his favor rests upon you. You know, and we're in the midst of worshiping the Lord. We can look at the lives that have been created by love, through the divine love that has touched these families, touched these lives. We have Nathan David Carr, son of Tom and Ina, and graced into this world September 13th, 2010. Can we just say thank you, Lord, for little Nathan David Carr. There you are, Nathan. There you are, little guy. That's you. Yeah. And the next little angel we have is Levi James Larson, son of Troy and Rachel Larson, November 2nd, 2010. Yeah. What a great day. It's also my birthday. Yahoo. Thank you, Lord. There he is. What a great day these little world changers came into this world, into these lives, into these families, into our body here. And we're just so excited to have, you know, just the supernatural church growth like this. This is wonderful. And we have the next little person, Michael Dylan Williams, son of Dylan and Amy Williams, December 6th. My father's birthday, whatever that, 2010. Oh, I just thank you, Lord. Now look at that little elbow on the the chair. It's like I'm a little confident one here. That's so cool. All little ones are being groomed to be raised as great lovers of Jesus. We could say great young men, great men to be, but saying that they're great lovers is, I think, the highest acclaim for any person, that you are a lover of Jesus Christ. And I would rather be known in heaven, by that, be defined in heaven by whose I am than what I do. So I thank you, Lord, that we speak love over these little lives right now. Thank you for your power and presence to rest on them. You know, when you come up and stand up here, it's like, well, Lord, how do you do a dedication? We've done many before. We want to do everything according to how you say and what you declare and decree. And he says, well, then follow my ways. And we believe that he's given us some ways to help our families be able to declare and decree what the Lord, who the Lord is to them, and some of the promises and decrees and declarations for them, for the children. And after the parents have an opportunity to do this, we're going to invite the rest of the families represented here for the babies and such to be able to come up so that we can pray over all of you. But when you're out here looking, you can see your son or your daughter and your grandson. And that's just a privilege that we have to be able to lift up and proclaim the goodness of God. So we're going to give you folks an opportunity to do that. And we have something that we have written before. I don't know how many we have here, so we might have six. I don't know. I hope so. We do. Yay. Okay. And I'm just going to give the mic to my husband, and we're going to allow you folks to just speak what's from your heart. And if you want to add something, you certainly can. It's not canned, but it's a guide. It's a decree and it's a declaration to be able to insert your child's name in this, to be able to say, Lord, to you alone we offer these words, and to the body here as well, because we stand as they are raising these children up. This is not just, well, this is something we do for little people. This is, we believe this is a dedication of a life made through love to be able to be dedicated to the heart and the service of God. Because when we say little ones will become great lovers of the Lord, they will become the greatest servants of all, because Jesus and the Lord and Father God are one. And so Jesus was the greatest servant and the greatest messenger. But better to be known in heaven as a lover and a servant and a friend of Jesus than anything else in this world. And great and mighty things will be accomplished through these lives as they give the glory, they give the credit, they give the honor for everything, for their gifts, their talents, their abilities, and every place that they will enter of influence. That's the desire of our heart here. We believe that echoes heaven. And we believe that these parents are going to echo out for you to hear as well. And also the powers of darkness, that these are children who are set apart, holy unto God, for his love and his reasonable service. And what a joy that is to be able to proclaim together.
I love baby dedications. Love the children. One thing that I think is that we forget that they're going to be carriers of the glory, carriers of Holy Spirit, and they could go to the ends of the earth. We see them in these little packages. We have to think with eyes of faith. But when we do, we can see how already their personalities and everything about them is preparing them to go to the nations. I love that we can see the potential. It's the same with us. You know, when we look at each other, do we see the potential of carriers of the glory in a greater way, taking the gospel to the ends of the earth? I hope so. So when you look at these three, I hope that you can see into the future and bring the future into now. Because that's the spirit of what we're doing today. We're not just saying, well, you as three little packages, we're just going to lay you before the Lord today. But we're going to believe for the future to be brought into the present, that Holy Spirit is strong in them at this very young and tender age, and that they are able to do some amazing works as they're able to talk and walk. We're going to see some of that. How many have seen a little child prophesy over someone and it was absolutely on target? I know some of you have because it's happened here. How many have seen a little person pray over someone and they were instantly healed? I know some of you have because it's happened here. I love that. And so why not these three? I said, why not these three? Amen? Yes, that's right. So we want to read the statements. They're going to read them?
Yeah.
So we'll anoint Troy to begin the reading of these powerful statements. And you can kind of follow his lead, and he'll take off. And we're in agreement, right? I would have you put your hands up towards them, but I'd rather have your hearts towards them because your hands will get worn out holding them up that long. These are powerful statements. Here they come.
Thank you, Lord. Can we just extend our hands to the babies right now? Father, we just declare and we decree that we are in agreement with those words of life. We thank you for those declarations of faith over these little ones. And Father, we just pledge our hearts of love and affirming backing to these families in Jesus' name. And we're believing right now that there will be a change in these little lives as a result of this dedication. We thank you, Lord, that they are known in heaven as little lovers. And we thank you, Lord God, that their destiny shall be fulfilled in fullness and purpose. And that they will not be distracted. They will not move to the left or right, but they will follow your ways. Lord, I thank you for the highway of holiness and purity that will mark these little lives. I thank you for the parents that will stand up and affirm who you are and not shrink back, even in difficult times. But Lord, they will keep their eyes on you, knowing that these little children really belong to you and you alone, and that they have been entrusted for a short season. So I thank you for that over them in Jesus' mighty name. And we as a church body say, amen. Well, this is the time also where we would like to pray, just to anoint the children, pray for the parents. If any of the extended family choose to join in that, and if you wanted to come around, you can. You don't have to. We can pray for you as well. But we just want to pray and just add our blessing as the pastors here on these families. So if that would be you, feel free to come up. And Josh, while we're doing that, could you, with the worship team, just see where the Lord wants to take this? And we just want to continue to allow the Lord to have his way with these children. I just thank you, Lord. You are so faithful. You are so good. You are so faithful and good. We're going to need to. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for these wonderful extended families that are also standing for the lives of these children. And we thank you, Lord God. It's a big group. Only three little ones, but look at this. These are the biological, the natural families. And the best thing that a family can offer is the love of the Father to each one of these children. And we thank you that most of you, all of you, were trusting, know the Lord, and have given your hearts and lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if not, this is a good time to do that, because his blessing is here for the whole family, extended family. That you're standing and saying, I want to know your love, Lord, and I want your love to flow through me to little Isaac, or to little Levi, Isaac too, to little Nathan, to little Michael. I want your love to flow through me so that it's the perfect Father's heart. So we're going to stand together and just anoint those who would like to be anointed and pray over those who would like that. And we're just going to ask the worship team to sing and back us up with whatever the Lord puts on your heart. Thank you, Lord. Praise you and thank you, Lord. Just give it up for the Lord right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Tom, did you want to make an announcement as Pastor Bill's getting ready to preach?
Freedom and glory.
Okay.
Yes, quick announcement about Frontline Training Center. I know we have some new people here, so Frontline Training Center is the educational ministry of Frontline Ministries, and we run a number of classes. We just finished a set of classes a couple of weeks ago, six very well-received courses in prophecy and healing and worship and a number of other things. Next month, we'll be starting up a new set of classes. We haven't yet decided what those are, but they'll be starting up mid to late September. And just giving you a heads up on that, I'll keep you posted on when those start and what exactly they are. If you would like to be a part of those classes, then and you haven't yet filled out an application for Frontline Training Center, you'll need to either go to the website and download one from there or see me, and I can give you an application, and then you get that back into me. This coming term, we will also offer a freedom class. It's a kind of a new version of that class, Freedom and Glory class, which Pastor Mary Pat will be teaching. And that will start up, I think, about the 12th of September. I think it's a Monday. We're still working on the dates. We'll keep you posted. Just wanted to give you a heads up and also to let you know if you'd like to be a part of Frontline Training Center, you haven't put in an application for that yet, then come see me after church. I'll get an application to you, and we'll go from there. Thank you.
This is a vehicle, just to piggyback what Tom is saying, a vehicle for us to burn for Jesus, to take nations for Jesus, to step out in great love. So when we say educational, it is the kingdom knowledge that the Lord is releasing, because it's the knowledge of the glory of the Lord that shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, Habakkuk 2:14. And the Lord says that that knowledge that you already possess, I am going to shorten that window between the glory that's released all over the nations, all over the world, my creation, my goodness, and how you enter into that and what you perceive that to be. As glory carriers, we need to be free. So this class will be a step beyond freedom class, but it is through the Freedom House, but it is freedom in the glory. And because that's the only way that we're really going to attain freedom and walk in that freedom and maintain that to be able to take it to the world. In Jesus' name.
How much do you like good news?
A lot.
A lot. Well, while I was in Ghana, we had a number of projects that were put up on the screen, as at least that's what I heard. Projects around the world that we put up there. One of the big ones was purchasing this property, this building and the property. Well, I'd like to rejoice in the Lord that we're now at 70%. Has come in, at least. Now, isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Now, some of you are looking at your wallets and saying, gee, I forgot to give. I forgot to give towards that one, and we already up to 70%. I might not even make it in before it's 100%. No fear. No fear about that. There's still 30% left. And if we were, you know, by your $1 million to go over, I think we might consider some things that could be changed. It's just a thought. But I'm rejoicing today. I'm not taking an offering today. The Lord's doing it without us mentioning this much. And we still have a building in Ghana that's very close to completion. It has roof. It has a well that goes to a poly tank, and they're actually using the water out of the poly tank. It has a tower for the poly tank to be put on. As soon as it dries, they'll put it up there. They might have to hook up a toilet and a shower and a few things like that, but it's amazing. The inside is coming together, just a little bit left on that to finish. And we're waiting for the pictures. They're a little bit tied up with some technical difficulties. Pastor Samuel's trying to find a USB cord.
He gave it to someone to use, and he's going to track it down. Because, you know, with me, I have like 10 of them. I should have given him 5 of them at least, and I didn't think of it. Because he has one, and if he gives it to someone and they don't know what happened to it. But we'll be getting some pictures, and I think you'll be very encouraged. I asked him if he was encouraged. You know, he's seen it. He's been there. He's been to the north since we were there and has checked out things and kept things moving, and he's very encouraged, he said. I am very encouraged, he said. So I think we all should be encouraged. Thankful to the Lord for what he's doing in that country and ongoing things in India as well. I'm sure we'll be reporting on those things. The center is being built. Mozambique. A fine, fine offering came in for Mozambique by the people on the Mozambique team. And amazing things are going to be jumping there. We'll probably give more report about that.
Can I just make a quick comment since I talked to Pastor Jose this morning?
Why don't you? Fresh news.
Fresh news. Pastor Jose oversees the churches through Iris Ministries, a very personal, close friend of ours, and we work in Mozambique with him closely. And the majority of monies that were released to him certainly did come through the team and such, but also through Frontline. And I talked with him this morning, and he really wanted me to tell you he misses us, and he sends his love, and he'll be here soon. And the things are really coming to fruition for the Miraculous Pineapple Project, and a very large chunk of money is actually being sent to him tomorrow, because we really value sending money out to the nations. That's been our heart for the last 15 years. And so this is a season also. Pastor Bill's talking about what God's doing here. And this is the season. We could have taken all these monies coming and imported into this, but the Lord said, no, send it to the nations. And so that's what we've been doing. And now the Lord is saying, this is what we're going to do here as well. And it's not taking away from the nations. So the Lord is really increasing. So there are great big things happening. We'll have some pictures for you. PJ is going to try to get that to us this week. He's really excited about it. The pump for the land for the 30 hectares for this amazing project that the Lord has given us great amounts of freedom to be able to bless and sow into is now coming to pass. So things are really increasing for him. And we do have a video that we're going to be putting together. We have clips from this past trip, Mozambique trip. And he also wanted you to know, those who are on the Mozambique team, that people from Combo Mooney are doing great, and they're coming out. For those of you who weren't there, that may not mean much, but they're coming. They're coming to Maputo. They're coming to Zimpetu. They're connecting with him, and he's going there this week to report back on the results of a lot of the miracles in process that we saw and the miracles that we did see that were finished. And so give us more of an update so we can have an inside connection with, you know, week to week, month to month, what things are happening in Mozambique. So thank you for your support and prayers, and there'll be more on that, but things are definitely jumping into a new realm in Mozambique. Okay.
Awesome, awesome. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all you're doing. You're always at work. You're always moving forward. We thank you that we can partner with you. We can be part of that. We can watch you do amazing things, Father. We bless your name, that you are the one that makes these things happen. We're thankful that we get to be your hands and feet at times as part of the process. We love partnering with you, Father, and we pray that we would partner with you in revival in such a way that it will change us and everyone around us. It will change the atmosphere where we work, where we shop. It'll change the atmosphere where we take a jog. It'll change the atmosphere in every place that we are, and you inside of us energizing our lives. The atmosphere will be changed and revival will be brought. We thank you, God. We thank you that you're the one that can get it done. We bless your name. We lift up your name high today. We lift up your name high today, and we give you the honor. So many of us, Father, are growing in honoring your name, growing in seeing just how much of a treasure you are for us. I pray that that would continue. We'd continue to grow in that. And Lord Jesus, would shine out of us to a hurting world. We bless your name in Jesus' name. Amen.
Children to go to camp.
Sure, the children can go to Kingdom Land. Man, I wish I was going to Kingdom Land. That sounds good. I didn't realize how good that sounded. Well, if you were here a few weeks back, Phil asked a question during one of my messages. And I got to thinking about that as we communicated after that, and he was saying, gee, I hope that wasn't out of line. And I told him it certainly wasn't. But I got to thinking about it. If he had a question as to whether that was out of line, maybe some others did as well. And I just wanted to make sure that you knew that that's always appropriate to raise your hand and offer a question or raise your hand and give a comment. Maybe we haven't said that in quite a long time. And maybe we get preaching so much and hopefully with a little bit of fire. And we forget to invite you into the process. So today, that will be the process. That's right, yeah. It should be interactive today. In other words, you have things to share with the body. We're going to give you an opportunity to do that. Obviously, since there's quite a group of us, if you could think in concise terms while you share. Otherwise, no one else will get to share. So I know some of you could take up the whole time. I know I could. I have. And people have been reminding me lately how much time I take up. And so I'm going to give you the opportunity to have some say in what goes on today. I'll give you the topic so you'll at least know that. How's that? Bill Johnson of Bethel Church out in California says he preaches one message in just different ways, and it's revival. He preaches revival. And I know we mention the word revival quite a bit, but this morning I want to interactively discuss what revival is, what it looks like. So I'll be reading some statements, and I want you to react to those. I want you to think of an example or a testimony or a question or a comment or a submitted opinion. And give us all some kind of indication of what the Lord is doing in your heart, maybe in this area that this statement touches on. How many are in agreement that they will give it their all to listen to Holy Spirit when he says, go ahead, share that, go ahead. How many will do that? You can raise your hand. Yeah. How many are too afraid to do that? You don't have to raise your hand. It's okay. There'll be some that'll be sitting back and listening as to what's going on, and others that will actually participate. And of course, you know, if you step right in and participate, you get extra credit for, you know, class participation. And you're like gold star, you know, and that big certificate I always give at the end of the year to those that help me out in these situations. So the question is, how do you know that you're in revival? How do you know you're in revival? I'm hoping that someone will type the statements up. I'm hoping someone back there will type up the statements when they're presented. But the question is, how do we know when we're in revival? And we're checking on kind of the oil, checking on the oil of the Holy Spirit just to see where we're at with that. Personally, corporately, you know, as a church body as well as individuals. Because the basic assumption is this, that if you're in personal revival, it makes it a whole lot easier for there to be corporate revival in a local setting. if you choose against it, wow, you're kind of a drag on the process of revival in a local body, wouldn't you say? But if you're all for it and you jump in with both feet into the middle of the river, you're not just testing the river at the edge with your toe, then it makes it a whole lot easier for revival to break through in the corporate body, the local corporate body. And if the local corporate body is set on fire to the point that others, other bodies of believers, other people even, hear about a fire in a local body, they're drawn to that fire, drawn to that light like a bug on a June night, I guess. They're drawn to that fire. It's not like the fire, you know, we go and take it to the Presbyterian Church downtown, or, you know, they will come to the fire. That's the way it works. Isn't that true? In Toronto, they've gone through revival since 1994. People go there and then take it back to their local churches, and their local churches are set on fire. Pensacola, when they had revival going on there, I don't know where that's at the moment, but people went there, received some of that fire, and went back to their local churches. Isn't that true? And we have benefited from that. We've been to Toronto. I haven't been to Pensacola, but we've been to Toronto several times in the past. And we brought some of the fire that they had, some of the wonderful teachings about Father's love and soaking and a number of other things, back into this local area. And we continually talk to people about those things. And they say, "What in the world is soaking? What are you talking about?" Well, they don't say it that way. They say, "So what is soaking exactly? Could you maybe explain what you mean by that?" And you might have to use a different word, like waiting on the Lord or tarrying. But people, "Oh, okay, you wait on the Lord and wait for him to speak to you? Hey, that sounds great." And you put on some worship music? "Wow, that sounds good. That's kind of what I do sometimes." That's right. It's not such a foreign concept, really. Maybe a foreign term or foreign word, but it's not a foreign concept. We want the Lord to speak to us. We also want to pray to him, but him speaking to us is a big deal. It's changed my life for him to speak to me in these times of soaking in his presence, receiving like a sponge the living water of the Lord. Okay, so if our corporate body can continue in revival, I think we're in revival. I think we're in revival. I think I can prove it by these statements. We're at least shooting for these. We're not, you know, necessarily hitting exact center on some of them, personally or corporately. But I think we're in revival. It's a secret revival. Undercover revival. And one of these days, there's going to be people showing up and we'll say, "Where'd you come from?" "I heard about the revival." "How'd you do that?" "We didn't really promote it." "That's right. I heard it from Holy Spirit." And there's already been some drawn here by that. By him, I should say. Not that. Some of you believe that? All of you believe that? Maybe not, but that's okay. There have been people's lives drawn to this place. Because I'm not much of a recruiter. But Holy Spirit knows how to do it. And he can even do it with a secret revival. What's actually happening? What's it look like? Well, let's go to the statements. Oh, well, first, my absolute desire is for each of you to become a rabid revivalist. Rabid. Rabid. Like you have rabies in the spirit. And you're foaming at the mouth. You can't wait to bite someone and infect them with revival. That's a rabid revivalist. Some of you are like that. It's scary to people. But you know what? It's effective. When they see you foaming at the mouth, first they want to run, then they hear what you're saying, and it's Father's love, and it's acceptance, and forgiveness, and repentance, and joy. Well, maybe not the repentance part, but the joy of the Holy Spirit. They're drawn in more than move away from you. And that will increase, as we said a few weeks ago, as the outpouring comes, people will be drawn to that rather than running from those of you that foam at the mouth. It's going to be an awesome season, and it's going to last until Jesus comes. That's going to be sweet times. And we're already started. The earth has started. It's rumbling, it's trembling. The earthquake has started. The tsunami has started. And those of us that are waiting for it and believing for it are starting to see it pop out in all kinds of different places. Things are shaking. People are being shook of their old habits, their old stuff, the old religious ceremonies. This wasn't a ceremony this morning. Well, we better get those babies dedicated. We're getting kind of old, you know. My gosh, better get them up here and get them dedicated to the Lord. No, it really wasn't done with that spirit. The parents, the leadership, we just join together with the Lord, and it's a supernatural experience, just like a wedding ceremony. The two really start to become one right in the ceremony. We've seen that in this house with some of the weddings. The bride grows up as she walks up to join the groom. She grows up because the Lord is preparing his bride without stain or blemish. He's preparing his bride. And you see it happen supernaturally. Now, I didn't know that before I started marrying people. These pastors that you know, they've had this secret that they haven't shared with anybody. They didn't share it with me. I discovered it. These brides, they grow up as they step up to get with the groom. Anyway, it's a supernatural thing. And the same way with baby dedications. We don't look at those the same way as we used to. We really believe God is doing something in these little guys and gals. When we get some more gals. We really believe it, and we see it. We see it in their little spirits starting to respond to God because they're going to be drawn to him and receive him and go crazy for him and maybe run ahead of some of us. Is that okay? Is that all right? Samuel in the Bible ran ahead of the spiritual leaders of his day. Others did that. We want that. We want that. So here's the statements. I better get to them or, you know, time will go by here. Jesus, when we're in revival, Jesus is lifted higher than any personalities involved in the group or movement. Revival is not about position, but positioning. So, if any of you would like to take my position today, you're welcome to it if you've been positioned by the Lord to do that. No problem at all. Sure. My typist is going to try and get these up there in some form. But Jesus is lifted higher than any personalities involved in the group or movement. Revival is not about position, but positioning. We position ourselves in the Lord to do whatever he wants with our lives. And it's a surprise. So often when we do that, if we try to achieve it ourselves, if I had tried to become a pastor, I think that would have been disaster. It was gifted to me, and I know it, and I take it kind of seriously that way. I was called to it without desiring it at the beginning of it. I was pastoring, but I didn't have a position of pastoring, and then I ended up with the position. I was positioned to become a pastor. Wow. Look at all that. Someone was listening. And the same for you. He's positioning you to take your place in the body of Christ. He's actively doing that right now. Oh, but I haven't been very good this week. He's still actively positioning you to take your place in the body of Christ. Oh, well, I haven't been doing very well for a long time. I haven't really been fired up for the Lord since I was a teenager. He's actively working to position you so that you reach your destiny, so that you take your proper place in the body of Christ. How well we cooperate with that is a different matter, isn't it? Are we cooperating with that? So, comments, questions, criticisms, complaints, examples, testimonies, encouraging words, scriptures on that first statement. Interactive. So one of the things that you do with that is when you see a need, when you're at your best, you ask if you can pray for that. He does that at work. He sees a need. He asks their permission, if he can pray for them. And it's amazing. I was over at their house for a really cool Korean barbecue while Pastor Mary Pat was ministering in Mozambique. I was ministering at the Korean barbecue. And one of his co-workers came over, I think for the first time. He had been to their house. And he came over, and he was just, you could just tell, he had been drawn in to the light. Now, they've discussed some spiritual things and this guy's background and so on. Mainly, he sees Peter pray for anything that moves, including him. And it's something about it. He's drawn to that authenticity. Okay. Any other comments on that first statement? Or statements, depending on how you look at it. Yes, sorry. The light was in my eyes from the door. Didn't see that hand. Sometimes it has to do with the position of our body. Well, our heart and our body follows. That if we're bowing our heart before the Lord and really wanting his kingdom above our little kingdom, then we're in a good position for what he wants to do in our lives. when we come forward, when there's a call for prayer, when there's a call for healing or deliverance or inner healing or more commitment or whatever there might be, when you position yourself before someone to get to receive that prayer, big deal. It really is. Because we believe in impartation here. That someone could actually impart their fire in a particular area for you, to you. They could actually impart the healing they have in their heart in a particular area to you simply by a caring prayer. Isn't that awesome? See, these things are really happening. Supernatural things. Revival. Secret revival. Okay, here's another statement. Holy Spirit is in revival. Holy Spirit is recognized and followed rather than the carefully crafted plan of any leader. Holy Spirit is the leader. Interaction? Interactive comments? What came to your heart when that was read? You don't have to think it all the way through here. You can just... Oh, that's why Andy's speaking. Okay. So who has an example of that? What he's talking about. Listening to Holy Spirit rather than some form or function that we're used to. Yeah, you can do that. Maybe. Yeah, there it is. Huh. Good thinking. You can be a runner. So, here's an example. Someone graduates from college. They have a degree in a certain area. And the job's in Poughkeepsie, wherever Poughkeepsie is. I forget which state Poughkeepsie's in. Did you make calls to Poughkeepsie on behalf of Top Echelon? Where? Okay, one of those. Anyway, get an opportunity to go there. Is that an automatic? It's the only job offer you have. Okay, if you're asking Holy Spirit, it's not an automatic, is it? Well, Holy Spirit, would I be better used there by myself, looking around for a new church, having to build relationships over about 3 years, trying to get connected there, but I have a job. So I come home to myself until I get a few friends and relationships going and so on. Or I'm already a youth director in a church. Maybe I can trust you for a job locally, even though that opportunity is there. What do you say, Holy Spirit? Do you think Holy Spirit will answer that for the person? Because I would want to make sure that was Holy Spirit if I was going to Poughkeepsie. Just because there's nothing there spiritually that you're aware of unless He creates it. Some of you don't look like you're following. I guess the point is, Ask Holy Spirit even on big opportunities. Even if it's irresistible. It's your life opportunity. Ask Holy Spirit and mean it when you ask. Anyway. Don't just ask him because you want to tell the pastor you ask him. Ask him for real. Lay the thing on the altar and see what he says. We've had people that didn't have to go to Poughkeepsie. And they got a job here. And it turned into something even better than what they had in Poughkeepsie. But they wouldn't have known that unless they asked Holy Spirit. And they had ministry. They had training. They had the job. And the job seemed to fall farther down the list the farther they were away from their schooling. You with me? The dream jobs fall farther down the list, I don't know if you've noticed, the farther you get away from schooling. When you first get that job, woohoo! I remember my first job out of college. It was in the factory, but I was still excited. I was supposed to be a teacher, but okay, I'm in the factory. And I ran to every place I was supposed to go, and I mean, I was excited, and a big paycheck for even low on the totem pole, and I was excited about that job. But the guys around me that had been there for 10, 15 years, they thought I was a lunatic. Why are you rushing down to that next place to work? Why are you doing it? Now, some of that was bad habit on their part. But some of it was, look, this is a long haul. And if you're going to wake up really super excited every day, you're going to burn out. So some of it was good, some of it was bad. But the point is, the farther I got away from schooling, the wiser you get that there's no job that's perfect. And there's always problems that come with the job. And there's no dream job that stays the total dream unless it's something you do in the Lord. Okay, another statement. You can jump in at any time if I go past my hand. Oh, there's one. The first chance for our runner.
I guess in my experience, I just realized this revelation that in listening to Holy Spirit and allowing him to lead is really part of the waiting process and acceleration process. And I just got this revelation. I mean, I kind of knew it before, but I really got it a couple days ago that really usually when we see something and we want to accelerate and jump in, that's usually we need to wait and listen, because usually when it's something we want to jump into it. But if it's something, but what Holy Spirit, what he wants us to do when he wants us to accelerate, we're usually like, wait a minute, I'm not ready for that. But we want to accelerate, you know. So that's so really, if it's, I don't know, starting to listening, and if I'm ready to jump in with both feet, need to just take a step back and really listen and see if that's what Holy Spirit wants.
So you listened in the job realm.
Yes.
And you went from the airport to Akron University.
Yes.
Was that something you would say the Lord favored you?
Yes, because of waiting and waiting. And in that process, there was something I wanted to jump into. And then, and thank the Lord that he intervened and slowed that process and brought me something that was totally him, you know. So that was amazing.
As a further note, do you value the counsel that was given to you during that season?
Highly, highly. That's the most important, absolutely most important, highly valued thing is the counsel in all of that. That's the most important. That's the most. I can't say more than yes. Absolutely, counsel is mostly highly recommended and valued. And if I didn't have that, I don't know. I can't say. I can't explain that. So. right.
I was going to say you should thank Troy. Awesome. Okay. Got a couple here. Okay, good.
When Holy Spirit speaks to you and tells you to do something, oftentimes you can ask and he will give you confirmation. He will give you some sign and then he will fulfill it. And if he wants you to go forth, a number of years ago, we were called back to this area here, and I was looking through a newspaper, and I was asking Holy Spirit, you know, to lead us back up there and back to this area. And he says there was a job opening in Kansas City. He says, send them a resume. I said, but Lord, that's the wrong way. And he says, send it to him. And so I asked him if he wanted me to, that he would give me confirmation. And he gave me a sign, and then he fulfilled it.
Yes, Lord.
So I was faithful, and I sent them a resume. And here the corporate office was in Kansas City, but the job was in Cuyahoga Falls.
Yes, Lord. Somehow he knew that, huh? Is there always a sign? That's when it's fun, isn't it? When there isn't a sign. Whoa. We're asking for one, and there still isn't one. But he still, when we step forward, like Moses, wouldn't have been, you know, just nice of God to kind of stir the waters of the Red Sea, you know, a little splashing out there, a little movement. Moses was praying. Nothing. And the Lord said, move forward. Oh, but there's no sign. There's no move forward into this water. But as he did, wow, then came a real breakthrough, huh? Awesome. So sometimes there's a sign, and we love that. Sometimes there isn't.
I'll second what Spencer was saying there, and I think one of the big critical factors is, are you asking the Holy Spirit for things that you want and that is going the direction you want them to go? And in my case, this was kind of what I was doing for a long period of time, and the Lord was gracious. He led me along many paths, as I look back, really were beneficial to me. But finally there came a point at a camp meeting when I realized that this is not what God wants. He doesn't want you to ask the Holy Spirit to give you the things that are best for you. What he wants you to do is to ask the Holy Spirit, what does God want me to do? Hmm. And when you yield to that, you'd better be prepared, because it's a wild ride.
That's right.
And once I made that decision, I ended up in all kinds of situations that I never envisioned I would be in, as the Lord led me from one thing to another. I never dreamed that I'd be working with a campus Christian group.
Yes, Lord.
And I never realized some of the other directions that he would lead me in. But the goal of what we ask for, I think, is really the critical situation when we go to the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Sometimes he allows us to come up with creative things all on our own, but we'll know that it's in the heart of God when it's something we wouldn't normally creatively think about to do. Like Jonathan and his armor bearer. Let's just go up there and take that garrison up the hill. going up the hill with one weapon against at least 20 people. You know, let's do that. That doesn't normally come to your mind. What normally would come to your mind in that case is, oh, that's suicide. I stay away from those kinds of deals. So when you have a inspired creative idea like that and it doesn't make any normal sense to you, you better investigate it and ask Holy Spirit about it, because it could very well be His creativity in you, and it's released because you've been faithful to Him and you're in tune with Holy Spirit, and He allows you to creatively come up with something like that with your sanctified spirit. Those are some awesome ideas, and God's partnering with those. It's a little bit tricky, though. So, again, asking Holy Spirit to make sure. Okay. Worship is a lifestyle rather than an event. When corporate worship is engaged, it can flow beyond time limits and the printed music on the page to prophetic declarations and decrees. It ushers in the presence and glory of God with many varied forms and formats that flow in the Spirit. Comments? Questions? Something about worship?
Had an opportunity not too long ago to worship in a very, very different place. One that I didn't think worship would even exist. About a month or so back, I was at a skate park, and we just had an awesome time in worship that day, and in prophetic release and worship, and you know, we're taught about how to be a worship, how to have a worship lifestyle. Worship as a lifestyle, and just allowing the very voice, the very heart of God to come out of your mouth in sound and in worship. And so while I was at the skate park skating and having a great time, there was a lot of illicit rap music being played over the loudspeakers, and it was very loud. And I said, you know, Lord, I want to see the atmosphere change. That's why I came here today. And I want to see these individuals who are typically pretty sad. I mean, they're skating, doing great things, but they're sad. And the look on their face is sad. And I wanted to bring a spirit of joy to the place. And I knew the spirit of joy is inside of me. And so I just started lifting up my voice. And in a very unorthodox way, I just began to release the very song in my mouth, you know, from my heart. I mean, in essence, to what was being played. I just gave it my own sounds. And I was singing out loud and having a great time and interacting with people and smiling at them and inviting them into joy. And that led into a time where literally five young men experienced tremendous healing in their bodies in Jesus' name. And the environment itself, I didn't know how to pray in that environment itself, but once we got out into the skate shop and I was about to leave, I asked the Holy Spirit. I knew He wanted to do something. I knew it. It was in my heart, and I had a desire to see Him do something. That's why I went there that day, to have fun and release His presence. And I asked Him, I said, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do? And He gave me a phrase, and I was familiar with that phrase. Ask if anybody has pain in their body. I don't know anybody in this place, but the Holy Spirit knew each and every one of them, and He knew what they were suffering from. And all I had to do was open my mouth and ask, does anybody have pain in their body? And then I had to deal with the rejection for a moment, because they didn't understand that question. But because I asked, and because I lifted up my voice, and I chose to go into an environment saying, I am a worshiper. I am someone who carries the Holy Spirit in my body. I said, you can come and reside in me, and I'm going to take you everywhere I go. It turned out to be an awesome event that could have easily turned into salvation for these young men in a snap. And so now it's just room for growth.
Revival. What does revival look like? You had a comment a while back, and I somehow missed you. You remember what it was? Or? Okay.
Oh, with Holy Spirit, like today during worship, like he was just teaching me how to corporately flow with Holy Spirit, and I could feel like I could feel the body moving together, and I could feel the sweetness of it, and just that it we like just the worship this morning was really sweet, and I loved worshiping Jesus, and I loved flowing with everybody, and God showed me, like in Africa, he showed me this picture of myself worshiping and the body worshiping, but I was like just doing a different thing, like doing a different beat, doing a different song, and he showed me that like that I thought that my own thing is what was true in me, like I had to make my own song, I had to do my own thing, I couldn't flow with the body because it wasn't my thing, and God showed me that flowing with the body, like that is, you know, it's sweet, and it's all about Jesus, and it's all about us together giving him glory and praising him and being a sweet aroma to him, and I love that, and I love flowing, and I love moving with him, and doing whatever he like flows us to do and leads us to do. And I just like that.
Great. Is worship always with music? We're learning that, aren't we? That worship is our lifestyle, whether there's music involved or not. But it's very enjoyable that music makes it. It lifts it to a different place for us. It's easier to enter in, maybe. I'm glad God invented music. So glad about that. God's goodness is proclaimed with many testimonies given as continual evidence. Just jump in. I'll keep reading a few of these. God's goodness is proclaimed when there's revival. God's goodness is proclaimed with many testimonies given as continual evidence of his goodness. The presence of God and the power of God are being encountered in revival. The believers involved are family, not just advertised as such. There are spiritual leaders that act as earthly spiritual parents to sons and daughters of the King without lording over them. Sons and daughters act as armor bearers for leaders with the expectation of growing into leaders and spiritual parents themselves. Close relationships provide a safety net of spiritual counsel without control and loving, honoring relationships without codependency. Now, come on. There's got to be some interactive comments. That was a long one.
Well, I remember when I first learned about being an armor bearer and being the PK, pastor's kid. it was kind of a thing that the Lord had to bring me through, also being a daughter and a PK. You know, as time went along, just realizing that supporting the vision and supporting what the Lord has been pouring out in this place has benefited me greatly. And when I first started learning about being an armor bearer, it actually made me angry. Like, God, I'm going to have to put aside everything that I want, all my desires, and blah, blah, blah. And just as the Lord has brought me through a healing process and submitting to those things and really getting excited about it, what blessing and support reciprocally that I've gotten for my dreams and the things that I want as I've supported and been an armor bearer.
Awesome.
So I think that's part of revival.
Absolutely.
Support, yeah.
And it helps the corporate body so much. Isn't that true? Because it's much stronger. It's not fragmented. there's actually relationship going on between the participants, not just, well, we all kind of gather together as a lump on Sunday morning, and then we just break off from the lump and go our separate ways during the week, and then we come back for another lump session, and then we break off into our fragmented parts the rest of the time, you know. It's much better to feel that you're part of an organism that kind of, you know, okay, when I go over here, I flow, and there's people flowing with me and supporting me no matter where I go, and where you go, there's this flow behind you of the organism kind of supporting you and being with you where you go and the things you have to deal with. That's much better than, okay, I'll break off from them, and I'm going to go and face the world, and I'm going to try to make the right decisions. It's much better to have that flow. Right, Tony? That flow behind you when you go through something. Awesome stuff. I'm just waiting for Stephanie Liptak to say something. I don't know. That's my goal. Then we can quit. I mean, we'll never get through all these statements. I just know she's got something. But it doesn't have to be on this one, but I know it's coming. In fact, last two or three times I shared, I wanted her to say something. Okay.
I got a quick one.
All righty.
Quick. You know, in the world system, you hear and you learn that it's about getting your plan in order. Many of you have probably been to different conferences or different business seminars where they tell you, you get your 5-year plan, you get things in order, you start with the big vision, then you work your way down and, you know, to implement the steps. And that, you know, there's good things in that when you're dealing in business and other areas, but when it comes to kingdom, a lot of those mindsets can really get in the way of the kingdom way of doing things, which is really the agenda is the presence of the Lord. It's really getting into his presence and allowing him to affect change in your heart. And then as that change is affected, allowing him to speak direction from that place. I know for me, In my own life, there have been a number of times when the logical decision didn't end up being the right decision. And by God's grace, in many of those cases, I sided with the Lord, not always right away, but eventually. As I got into God's presence, I said, God, I want your heart. I want your best. I want you to take me where you want to take me. You know all the variables. I know very little of them. You know, it even says in Corinthians, we prophesy in part. And we speak in part, you know, but when perfection comes, you know, we get a full revelation, and that perfection is love. In that 1 Corinthians 13, that whole thing is about love. You know, in the presence of Jesus, there's fullness of love. And so when we step into his presence, when we dwell in that place, Psalms 90, in the secret place, when we dwell in that place where his love captures every aspect of who we are, the details become easy. You know, it says, I believe in Jeremiah, he says, you know, Jeremiah's like, I'm too young, I can't do this, I don't understand. He's like, you'll hear a voice behind you saying, turn to the right, turn to the left, go straight.
Yes, Lord.
And a lot of times when there's fear in our hearts, we don't want to operate that way because, first of all, people think it's flighty. And if we have fear in our heart of what people think, then we're going to have an issue with that. But when Holy Spirit's the one saying, go left, right, straight, whatever, then we can know, we can bank 100% of the time, we're going to get to the right place at the right time. But when I'm saying I think I should go right, and I don't see that there's a cliff off to the right, and I make that turn, at worst I fall off the cliff and destruction comes into my life. At best I come to a skid and I look over the cliff and I think, man, that was a bad choice. You know, but when we get on our faces and our hearts before the Lord, we just say, Holy Spirit, you lead me, you direct me, you guide me. You know, it's like you trip down the steps and somehow you land on your feet and you're like, how in the world did that happen? And everybody else is like, wow, that was an incredible move. And you're saying, Holy Spirit, it was only you, so.
Yes, Lord. when there's revival going on, there is a growing spiritual understanding of covenant, honor, alignment, favor, repentance, forgiveness, and dying to self. Pride and selfishness are banished, while humility and selflessness are embraced. And the interaction? Not on that one. We got both lip tags going, no, not me. Not me. There's a growing spiritual understanding of covenant, honor, alignment, favor, repentance, forgiveness, and dying to self. Pride and selfishness are banished, while humility and selflessness are embraced. The runner has to jump over a few hurdles.
These attributes are really about God, and I love how God leads us into a place where when we're learning about who he really is and learning how to let him be lifted up inside of us, that these attributes start flowing out of us. And I love how God leads us to a place where it's no longer about me making my mark on the world, even if it's just a short mark, or, you know, I'm going to go and do this awesome radical thing, you know, and I'm going to be known as a great person for a short period of time. But instead, he leads us into a place when we embrace revival and really the spirit of revival, we start to see who he really is. And in seeing who he really is, he positions us to just keep going and going and going. And I love that because it allows me to be a person like he is. He just keeps going and going and going. And I don't have to worry about, oh, am I going to write an awesome book that people are going to be able to follow? Am I going to be able to write songs? Am I going to be able to produce artwork? Am I going to be known as a healer? It doesn't matter about what I'm going to be known as. It's I get to know him. And I get to know him because he's displaying his attributes in front of me. And I get to know who he is. And everything else out of that just gets to follow. And I love it because he calls it revival. I just call it getting to know him. And like really coming into close proximity with him and not being afraid to approach him, but rather getting comfortable in his presence and knowing that the way he sees me is awesome. And he's giving me an opportunity to see him as awesome. And I just love how he strips down everything and makes it all simple and just really makes it about him and not even about me anymore. So I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to worry about the outcome. All I have to do is just keep coming. Just keep going closer to him, even when my body's screaming, saying, don't go any closer, he's going to kill you. You know, just because your flesh is so afraid at times, drawn to something so pure and so lovely, because it sometimes just doesn't know what that really is. Doesn't have a grid work for it. But I love how he brings these attributes in and says, you know, this is just because I'm there. These things are there because I'm there. And these are being put on display because I'm there, you know. And I love it. It positions you, even when you're outside of the church setting, to just be a catalyst for him. And you find yourself interacting with people totally differently. And you don't have to rely just on what you once knew, but you get to look at him and say, who are you really? And how would you respond in this situation? And I love it. It makes him tangible in the way that he should be.
I used to do quite a bit of jail ministry weekly. And one of the things that I saw as a common thread with some of the guys that were taking off in following Jesus was that most of them wanted to get out and they wanted a stadium of people and they wanted to give their testimony and have people change their ideas about drugs or alcohol or
I guess drug. I guess alcohol is a drug. All drugs, you know, about illicit sex, about abuse, all these things. They wanted to gather a whole stadium and preach that whole stadium. And I would say to them, if you could just get out and tell your family that you love Jesus, start with one family member and tell them that you're going to live the life of Jesus before them. I would be happier. And they would often get out, and within just a few weeks, they'd be back in the jail Bible study. Because they were thinking, I'm going to skip over all the steps it takes to preach to stadiums. One of those steps happens to be living an authentic Christian life before my family, before the people that know me the best. They wanted to skip over a few of those steps. And you notice that a lot of young believers, they think of making the worship CD before they learn to worship. And so they'll get with a band, they got the band, they're all saying they're Christians, they start to make the CD, then they have a problem somewhere along the line in the band, and it breaks up, and either one member's work is left off the CD after he made the tracks, or the whole thing, it just falls apart and the project is never completed. Well, it's a problem with character. It's not a problem with ability. You know, they're going to have problems with their bandmates because the very love that they're wanting to sing about on the CD or play about on the CD is not active even in the band. Okay.
Can I say something?
Sure.
Just one thing that went while Peter was talking, for all these wonderful things listed here, I was just realizing that it's really like a revelation of God's love, and that's what these things flow out of. So in my life, when I'm really getting more of a revelation, and my heart is catching on fire with His love, that then these things are coming from my life, just as this is what's going to happen, because when we fall in love with Him truly and understand it, His love for us, then I see these things coming from our lives.
Okay, I'll read two more together and take your comments and so on, and we'll be done. There's many more, but we'll take two more. Healing and deliverance takes place commonly. This is in revival. Healing and deliverance takes place commonly, and the fruit remains. Miracles are invited and normal because the supernatural is becoming natural. Inner healing is intensely desired so that those that are comforted can comfort with freedom in all aspects of their inner healing. God is Father, trusted, believed, and obediently followed. His love is fully enjoyed and shared. His chastening is welcomed because it proves that we are valued sons and daughters. Submission is not a dirty word because it creates more exaltation for Jesus. The dirty word is religion. And your interactive comments on our microphone that's being run around by a very willing servant of the Lord, who happens to be my daughter.
One of the things that there you mentioned in the statements was like that earnest desire for inner healing. And the sense I was getting from the Holy Spirit is that, is like, and also you had mentioned religion, and sometimes the Lord, I believe, wants to take us in the atmosphere and culture of revival, is to trust the Lord through covenant relationships, that He's going to bring you into the place of receiving deeper areas of inner healing. And a lot of times I think where we kind of miss the boat and where we step into religion is that we almost try to bring about the inner healing ourselves because I know that that's the right thing to do. And the Lord is saying, no, worship me, bless me, focus on me, trust me, and as you do, trust that I will take you into the places of where all of a sudden, yes, we're desiring and looking for inner freedom and healing, but the Lord brings it about in His timing. Because we might be thinking, oh, I really need work in this area. This area really needs fixed in my life and heart. And if I was ordering my footsteps and fixing myself, obviously this is the one that needs fixed right now. And the Holy Spirit, I believe, is saying, no, release that to me because there might be something else that you're not even seeing that I want to work on that will actually help release you in the area that you're really, really concerned about. And so the Lord is asking us in this culture of revival to allow Him to really, really, really be the author and finisher and perfecter of our faith and to trust Him that He's going to be able to point out to us the things that need pointed out and be open to that because you never know when it's going to come or when it's going to happen. But if we have that heart of continually being in the place of worship and of wanting to focus on Him and lift Him up, then it's always a recipe for success and Him coming in and bringing that freedom.
Back in the day, it was called having a quiet time and having an application from that quiet time. That was the goal. Actually, the goal is to encounter the Lord. And when we encounter the Lord, the applications flow a lot better. They actually happen rather than they're written down and forgotten. When we encounter Him, when we worship Him. So in essence, I should have spent maybe a little bit more time on my guitar worshiping Him after my quiet time rather than beating myself over the fact that I wasn't keeping the application. It would have worked a lot better. I'm learning. I do a lot more of that worship stuff.
In 1 Thessalonians, the will of God is be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances.
Yes, Lord.
Well, when we do that, that becomes who we are and not what we should do. And then that allows the Spirit to work through us, and we're always in that place of being open and seeing what God wants for us.
Amen.
It's the will of God. It's pretty simple.
Yes, Lord. Good word.
Woo! Sorry. Half asleep here, guys. All right. I don't remember which one it was exactly, but just when you were talking about the family and the oneness and words like covenant and words like submission, the Lord just, you know, kind of put it in my heart to share how I ended up back here. And I know most of you know I was here for a while, and I ended up at Bethel for a year. And Bethel was awesome, and it was great, and I made very lasting covenant relationships there that, you know, I deeply cherish them, and, you know, it was a beautiful year. But when some things happened in my personal life, the Lord just told me, you need to go not just where my physical family is, you know, Lawrence and Tia, but where there's family, you know, where there's you know, not just, you know, kind of one or two family type of people that you had at Bethel, but an entire church that is in one mind and one accord, and that family covenantness. And I just believe that just so honors the Lord, and that revival is in that place because there's a oneness, and He wants His bride to be of one accord and one family. And, you know, that was like the really big thing that, you know, not pushed me, but, you know, when the Lord was just go back to Frontline where there's that oneness, because he dwells in that, and
He loves that, and it's good.
Yes, Lord. So here, I need to pay you. See me later. That was awesome, huh? Woo.
Just to piggyback that, when I was in college at Mount Union, the Lord drew me here, and it was just supernatural. And I just thought, like, growing up, you hear, oh, after college, you know, you have these friends, and then you get back together with them once in a while, and, you know, you think of these things. And, like, I'm so blessed because not only did God, I didn't want to go to Mount Union. He drew me there, and obviously now we know why. But, you know, so many of my, what he did there and how he brought me here, and so many of my friends that I have there, like, are here with me now. And, like, I know it's not, like Stephanie was saying, it's not just friends, like, it's family, you know, and not every place has that. And I'm just so blessed. The Lord always reminds me, like, what a blessing it is that, you know I could call anybody at any time, and, like, they would drop and come and help, or, you know, it's like, that's supernatural, and that's revival, you know, because we have the love of the Lord in us flowing constantly. You know, I think that is, that's a sign of revival, because that's not everywhere. So I just thank God for what he does, what he's doing, and what he's done, and what he's going to do more.
Yes, Lord.
To piggyback on what Stephanie said also, what I have seen in this body is we've been part of some other bodies, and we've watched dynamics happen in those bodies. And one of the dynamics, sadly, that happens in churches is people leave when something happens, whatever it is, they leave. And the heart of this body, which is in revival, I've never seen the heart that is here for those people who stray. It's a heart that I have for my own children. And it's, sometimes it's very hard when, if somebody's not family, not biological family that you've been raised with, and they do something, you can write them off very easily. You don't have to come in contact with them again. You don't have to think about them again. You can think about the rotten things you may think they have done. But in this body here, in this body that is in revival, there is a heart of longing for those people to come back. There's a heart that says, you know, if that person is to be part of this local body, there's not a heart of judgment. There's not a heart of condemnation. There's not a list of things. There, the first thought is love and reconciliation. That is all and even in myself, when you know, maybe I have a relationship with somebody that has wandered, my heart is just love, and that's it. It's just, I've learned that heart of love, not clean yourself up, not do this, not do that. And those things come through guidance and leadership and counsel as those relationships evolve back into what they should be. But the initial emotion is always love and a heart of good and a heart that is good towards them, a heart that says, you know, I want what God wants for you. I want the best for you, not a heart of judgment. The judgment is not there. It is a heart of love, and it's that love that I have experienced in my own life with my own children. That when my own children walk away, I have some wayworthy children who I would still walk in front of a train for. And that is the same kind of love that I believe pervades here for those who maybe wander, is that somebody would still walk in front of a train for them. You know, I mean, you know, Jesus died on the cross, and as him being the example, I think in the revival that we have here, many people walk in that example of unconditional love. That is just, and that's the way you call people into the family, is unconditional love. So
Peter's denial was redeemable and restorable, and Jesus set the precedent for us and to do the same thing. I mean, he directly denied that the Lord and he had any kind of relationship, and yet Jesus easily restored him to his destiny, his ministry, and so on. That's the heart we love here.
I go back to 2006 in April. The doctors gave me almost no hope. And Mary Pat was at my head. And Phil was at the side. And many others from this body were there when I was in ICU. And the love, I just can't describe the love. And I'm just so thankful. I'm so thankful that I was given another chance.
Yes, Lord.
And I want so much to be able to reach out and help somebody else.
Yes.
And I just thank this whole body for being there. God sent them. It was one telephone call, I believe, from my son. And within minutes, people were there. I just thank God for that.
Yes, Lord.
Now she bikes 20 miles.
Yes, Lord.
Woo!
When I came here, I was here, I don't know if it was about a year, but as I sat over in here somewhere, I was realizing how much I saw everybody here take care of everybody else's little children, and different people of all ages were interested in loving other people or us older people that have come. And as I sat there, I was hearing, this is what God's family is supposed to be all about. And I have never sat in a church and got that message given to me as I sat there. And it is the only church I've ever been in over many years that I got that feeling.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I've really enjoyed being a part of this body for the past 10, 11 years because I've really felt that I've been loved where I'm at. And not been told I need to be somebody else, but who the Lord has created me for, what my destiny is for, what my purpose is, has been held accounted for and has been called out and has been spoken and has been directed at. And I really appreciate that because they really see who I am inside and what I am to be. And I'm able to receive that. And if it's need to be spoken directly, I can receive that. And the Lord's brought me to that place where I can continue to go forward. And I have family that's 3 hours away. You know, Peter has family in Iowa. And I feel closer here in this body than I do with my own family. Because I know this family supports and stands for God's heart and protects God's heart and wants God's heart. And so through that, because of knowing God's heart, is able to call me out and follow in God's heart, because we can all stand together and join together. So if there's ever a need, if I'm going through a tough time or a medical condition or whatnot, I know I have the backing. I know I have the support, and I know I have the victory that enables me to carry me forward, because I know that I'm not running this race alone. And I know that we spur each other on. So I know that's awesome. And I'm thankful for that.
Is your closeness with your physical family better than it was 5 years ago?
Oh, yes. And that's also increased too, because as the Lord continues to heal my heart and what I've gone through with my family, I'm able to forgive them in a deeper way and to love them in a deeper way and to call out the kingdom in them in a deeper way as well.
Don't worry, it'll be super quick and short. The other day, I found a journal that was my first journal after I got saved, like from 1999, just before 2000. And this is before, like, Frontline actually had its official name. This is before Frontline Worship Center. This is before a whole bunch of things. And I remember reading in my journal about, I went to this Bible study, and, you know, I really sensed the presence of the Lord there. And I wrote in capital letters, "It feels like home." So that's just, I mean, seeing that and then hearing everyone sharing today and knowing that that's just what the Lord's been doing here since, like, forever.
I hate to be a parrot, but after hearing what Kim says, you know, I just thought I had to, you know, come into agreement with that. You know, the biggest sign of revival is love, and the kind of love that I've seen here is just nothing but supernatural. You know, just no offense, just how people just take no offense. I mean, you can sit there and ignore someone's phone calls for weeks on end, lie to them, and they invite you into their home. And it's just not normal. It's humanly impossible to show the kind of love that's shown here, you know, without the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
It was kind of funny when Andy started saying that, I was almost going to say the same words, because I was looking through some journals the other night, just over the past like 9 years, and just sort of something that inspired me, which I haven't really done much, and I mean years and years of just journals, and which was really cool. Like, I mean, just the way I used to write and things I used to say, I'm like, man, I'm so a different person today than I used to be. And just thinking about, as everybody's sharing, it's just kind of echoing, you know, the incredible things that the Lord's done in my life through the people in this room and through, you know, the Lord himself has just been truly miraculous. I mean, amazing, you know, that God can actually take a person, you know, who is in darkness and just turn them upside down, inside out, and set them on a course of true freedom, you know, for the rest of their lives. And I'm just truly thankful to that. So,
I'm just a testimony from somebody that's only been here 2 years. It's been an amazing 2 years. I've got lifelong friends that will be my brothers and sisters for the rest of my life. I got a mom and dad who will be my mom and dad for 120 years, at least of their life anyway, and to come. But 2 years, it hasn't seemed like 2 years. It seems like 20. Sometime maybe 38, you know. Soon to be 39. But, praise the Lord for that. When we talk about covenant relationships and a covenant, when God made his covenant with us, and then we step into that covenant and make the covenant with him. And then we step into a body that has made that covenant, and we come together. It's amazing. The relationships I have here, I'll cherish forever. And it is supernatural. It's amazing. And I feel like I've been here all my life. I don't know how that feels, but it feels like that. So, praise God.
Thank you, Vanna Green. I'm allowed to say that's my wife. I think a lot of the things that, I don't want to say we've learned, but I guess we've experienced in revival really stem back to the way that the Lord established our foundation in this ministry, in the heart of this ministry. And that was going on missions trips. And imagine, you know, you're going to a place, a new place, a village in Africa with whatever 15 people or 30 people or how many of our people are on the team. You're going to a dry and thirsty land where sometimes there literally is no water. And you're going to an area where you don't know anything about the surroundings. You don't know anything about the people. You really don't have a clue what to do. You really need to rely on the Holy Spirit. You can't come up with a well-crafted plan for establishing revival there because you don't know the territory. And a lot of things are brought out in your heart because you're stretched and you're out of your comfort zone and all of these things where you learn how, number one, to follow the Holy Spirit and ask Him, okay, what do we do now? Because we really don't have a clue. And you learn how to love when you don't even feel like you have a vehicle to love. You know, I can't do anything right now. I don't have anything. Like, I have these clothes. I have the 50-pound bag that I brought with me to live off of for the next how many ever weeks. It's all I have. But I have the Spirit of God living inside of me. And so there's not a well-crafted plan, a well-laid-out service, something that you can fall back onto. It's just Jesus. It's just the Holy Spirit. And you're put in that place where you don't have many options, seemingly, to rely on yourself and to rely on, you know, man's way of doing things. And you're also put in a place where you're like, well, I'm here for a couple weeks or a couple months, and I came to love on people. So I'm actually really going to love on people. I'm not just going to sit back and ignore them. I'm not just going to do my own thing. I'm not just going to play on my iPod because I don't have it. Or if I did bring it, I'm not going to play. I'm not just going to text people and ignore. I'm not just going to. And so a lot of these things I know from my own life, just growing up in that culture and environment of, I'm gonna do it together with a bunch of crazy people that we're all trying to learn together. We don't know what we're doing. We don't have a textbook for this. We're just gonna try to learn together. We're all gonna take the plunge together. And if we all go down together, we're all going down together. If we all succeed, it's because the Holy Spirit is. And I really believe that the Lord allowed that type of experience and to happen on a consistent basis to teach us. It's really not much different here. It looks different on the outside because we have a lot more things that we can rely on. But really, it's not that much different here. People are people. They need love. You need to follow the Holy Spirit. You need to do it communally, and you need to do it together as a family. Just because you're living in houses together and not living in tents together doesn't mean that you can't do it the same way. And so being on a mission trip recently for me has just stirred up a lot of those things that, you know, the Lord has really set as a foundation for us here. And I really believe that there was a reason why He did that, that we were missionaries and we were on God's mission first before we ever had a building to call church home. When we didn't have a building, we were the church. And now that we do have a building, we still are the church, and we care less about the building than we do about being the organism of the church. And it's not rhetoric. It's not, you know, a phrase that we use because it's the cool thing to do. It's really the life that the Lord has allowed us to learn, and we desire to continue to learn. So I just look back at that history, and God is so smart. He's so smart in the way He does things to build foundations that way. And we're very smart to look back on, you know, and see the workings of the Lord, whether we've been here for 2 years or for, you know, longer than this place existed, because it's really His heart and expressed through our history with Him that makes us who we are today and makes us who we are corporately today. And it's just cool to hear you guys share and recollect about things.
great to hear you share about your personal revival. Because it, you know, there's something about how it affects us corporately, isn't it? It's kind of cool. Father, we thank you, Lord. We're blessed that you're working in our lives and you're bringing about revival in us. You're stirring us towards encounters with you, experiences with you, and your word, your spirit. Lord, we bless you, Father. We worship you. We honor your name today in this place. We lift it high. It should be lifted up higher than any of us, Lord, way higher, because it's all about you. You're the one that accomplishes mighty things, even through us, when we partner with you. We thank you, God. We bless your name today. We thank you for these reflections. We thank you for the interaction today, what's been shared from people's hearts. And we give you the glory for that. We honor you. We thank you for the revival you're bringing to us corporately, and that you will draw the nations to our doorstep, and we will also go out to those nations, Father, and we'll spread your revival. We'll spread your fire. God, you can lay your destiny on us, and we will seek it. We'll desire it. We give you the praise. We honor you in this house on this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed. If you have more to share, there's someone beside you.